Hi everyone, welcome to Fix the World with me, Katie Tracy, and my co-host,
Sam Avery.
You right, Sam?
I'm all right, yeah, how are you?
I'm all right, I'm good.
We should probably tell the listeners that we're on Zoom this week, aren't we?
Yeah, we're on Zoom.
So there's going to be a little bit of talking over each other, naturally.
Yeah, and then potentially family members just strolling in.
How have you been? What have you been up to, Kate?
I have been out. I went out Friday and Saturday.
Oh.
Yesterday I was just lying. I was just basically horizontal all day yesterday. It was great.
What
you've been on holiday, haven't you?
I've been on holiday, so I've been drinking heavily, but not like all in one go. I've sort of spread it out across the week. So I've not actually had a hangover. I've just been like nicely sozzled every night.
Not binge drinking like me. More like regular. Regulated drinking.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The kind of drinking that men used to do in the 1950s that was just seen as, you know, he's an upstanding guy. He drinks every night, but he's never drunk. That's because it's
the kind of drinking you do on holiday.
Exactly.
You go by the pool at 9 o'clock and go, oh yeah, it's time for the lager.
Yeah. Have you got any breakfast lager, Stavros?
Yeah.
Bring it over.
Little cornflake fitted onto the side of the glass, like instead of a slice of lemon.
Yeah, just to keep it, you know, within the right part of the day.
I did karaoke at the weekend.
What's your song for karaoke?
Yeah, so much. Oh, I like to mess about. I'm not the world's greatest singer, but I like to just pretend I'm other people. Like I'm more of a vocal impersonator, I would say.
Very modest of you to say I'm not the world's greatest singer.
I spend a lot of time practicing when I'm driving to gigs, having my own little car concert, but I'm a vocal powerhouse, I think.
Have you ever thought about doing the cruises? Have you ever thought about that?
You know what? I would, but I think the rooms that you stay in are dead small. Need me space. I couldn't be doing with a little tiny window.
So what's your kind of... If you had three songs you had to pick to do karaoke, what would they be?
Well, okay. So I did three songs on Saturday night because I'm a dickhead who pesters people. I did Foundations by Kate Nash with the accent, this impression of Kate Nash.
Which is like a London accent, isn't it?
Yeah. Thursday night, everything's fine. Except you've got that look in your eye. So I did that. And like, it was dead early and no one was drunk. So I think people were just looking at me going, oh, what's the matter with it?
Were you then drunk?
I've been out since half one. And it started about half six. And then I did China in Your Hand by T'Pau.
Brilliant.
Belted that out. I didn't need a mic, really. But I was that. So my mate's husband sent in a thing today saying from the Profanosaurus. And I think it was something like, I'll find it on my phone. It's like, she's a Winehouse something. Hang on, let me find it. I will find it right this minute.
Is that Profanosaurus, the guy from Viz, isn't it? Roger Melly.
I think so. She put it, yeah. Roger's Profanosaurus, a one-pint Winehouse, a woman who quickly becomes aggressively inebriated, thinks she can sing and then staggers around a bit on her heels before falling flat on her face.
Amazing.
That was probably me on Friday. My last song was a tribute by Tenacious D.
Oh, that's an ambitious one, isn't it? Because there's a lot of warbling in that, and there's a lot of like that needs a power.
A lot of accent. I got fully into the part.
They're great songs. They're great songs. I think when I do karaoke, I like to basically just try and put as much effort into it to mask the fact that I've got no talent when it comes to singing.
Yeah.
So I'm like got my feet on the tables and I'm thrusting and I'm like gyrating and I'm scaring people. I've not done it for years.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did karaoke on my stag do. So this is going back a number of years. And it was in, I don't know if you know, the Big House in town.
Yeah.
Next to Adelphi. Yeah. It's a bit of a rough and ready boozer, if you...
I always imagine it's the type of pub, if you've been in prison for murder for 25 years, that would be the first pub you'd go to when you come out.
Yeah, and you'd meet the old gang that you'd not ratted up, and they'd ask you to do one last job.
Ratty. those kinds of fellas that will be there waiting for you, buying your pints because you didn't get ass on them.
Yeah, and that's it. And you'd be smoking rollies, and then you'd be, yeah, vowing to get your life back together, but just piece
and
by
you're
piece.
There doing karaoke on your Saturday.
I was doing karaoke. I was bladdered. It was a Sunday afternoon, and I put my name down, and I think the song was Raspberry Beret by Prince. I think
that's a good song.
And I got up. Yeah, I got up, and it was about a similar time to yours. It was like tea time-ish, but I was really drunk because I'd been out all day. And I started singing, but I started putting loads of MFs in there. I was like swearing and effing and jeffing. And people were laughing, and I was having a good time. And then the DJ, he grabbed me arm, pulled me towards him, and he just said in my ear dead loud as the song was still booming out, he went, "If you keep swearing like that, I'm going to knife you." And I just shit myself. My mate's got a video of me singing, and the first bit, I'm like giving it the beans, and I'm jumping around, and I'm swearing, but I'm like, and after the DJ speaks to me, I just look like I've been, well, threatened to be knifed, basically.
Yeah, you've got no problem cutting, yeah, but don't swear in front of them.
Yeah, that's a
generation. Like swearing.
No, bit of violence is all right.
An old-fashioned criminal.
Yeah, yeah.
Gentleman criminal.
Yeah, he lives by the criminal's code.
You know, I'll stick a blade in, yeah, but I will not swear in front of you while I do it.
No. Because that would be disgusting.
That would be disrespectful.
To your...
Your untimely murder.
Your fatal wounds. We don't want to rub salt in them. So I'm going to refrain from...
Me and Crystal used to go to the karaoke, this karaoke bar in town in Liverpool called The Croc after work on a Friday. And it was so bad how often we went that we'd walk in and the DJ would go, "All right, girls," like, because we were there all the time. So we started playing this game where when you pick a song there, it would have a little banner across the screen saying, "Up next, Kate with blah, 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 blah." So we decided to ask him if we could pick songs for each other without telling each other what they were and not putting our names on the banner. We called it karaoke roulette. So we'd go in at 5 when nobody else was there. And for a good hour, we'd just be singing like the randomest songs that we'd never heard in our life. But now when we go to karaoke, we'll do those songs like Poison. What was it? Your Poison. And all that. Oh. So good. But
yeah, we Alice don't go Cooper. Anymore.
It's
yeah.
All the best.
I do like a bit of karaoke.
Everyone does secretly.
I think I need to get back into it as lockdown's getting lifted and all that, and things are coming back to normal. Mm. But it's good to see it again for this week's episode. If you're new to the podcast, what we do on this podcast is we try and fix the world. We try and fix some of the tiny problems that is plaguing the world, plaguing the listeners, plaguing us.
Problem by problem, one by one. We try and
Once it's like eating a giraffe in it, you just do a little bit at a time. And by the end of this, you know, podcast, we'll have fixed a couple of things and the world will be a slightly better place or not. Because at the end, we're going to see if we've fixed or failed and see if we've made any impact on your...
We can only try.
That's all we can do.
That's all we can do.
We're very trying, so I've been told.
Yes, I've been told that a lot.
So our first subject this week is sleep.
Why do you want to fix sleep, Sam?
Well, I want to fix sleep because sleep's a very important part of our lives, and I'm not sure people understand how important it is. And as someone who's recently started to get a little bit more sleep than I was, I'm starting to understand the benefits of a good night's sleep, a good old-fashioned 8 hours. But I don't get 8 hours. I get 6 or 7 hours tops, and generally
that's still a lot.
Is that a lot? What sort of hours are you doing?
I'll go to bed say like 11 o'clock, and then I'll wake up about 2:30 and be awake for like 2 hours, and I just can't get back to sleep. I'm used to it now.
I don't have the insomnia in the middle of the night. I have it just before I go to bed, and often it'll be the as I'm about to drop off. Like, my whole body and my mind will be relaxed and I'll just be about to drift off into this beautiful world of unconsciousness. And then my brain will just go, "Yeah, but what about this?" And then my whole body will go, "Yeah." And I'll just be up. And like, it's almost like a lightning bolt's gone through me. I'm like, and I'm just thinking about stuff and I can't quite focus. And it's generally
the last thing I think about before I go to sleep is food, because I live from meal to meal. I'll be eating my breakfast and think about what I'm having for my dinner, and eat my dinner and think about what I'm having for my tea. So the last thing I do when I go to bed, I'm thinking about what food's in the house for me to eat the next day. And that keeps me awake.
It's tantalising, isn't it? Do you ever get up and have a little midnight snack?
No. Once you brush your teeth, that's game over.
Yeah, I remember getting up one night and not being able to get back to sleep and finding, like, I think it was like the most outlandish thing. It was like spag bol in the fridge, and actually thinking, well, if I'm going to eat it, I might as well heat it up. And then I heated it up and I saw a bit of Parmesan, and before I know it, I've got, like, you know, put all sorts of things. Yeah. Bit of this, lovely. Bit of that, lovely. And it's just sat there on my own, like in my pyjamas, eating spag bol. Quite the scene.
I think the reason I am insomniac is because it's an irony. I'm so lazy. I'll wake up because I need a wee, and then I'll just lie there and go, I'll go to the toilet in a minute. I will go to the toilet in a minute. And then lo and behold, it's 2 hours later and I'm like, fuck, I'm going to wait 2 hours.
Yeah, I think everyone does that, don't they, with the wee, if you need a wee. It's just like the common sense thing is to just get up and go.
My fella can, like, he literally puts his head on the pillow and less than a minute later, he's conked out.
I am so...
Maybe he's pretending.
Yeah.
He's pretending to be.
He's got one eye open, looking at you. I get this thing sometimes when, like, I think it's called restless leg syndrome.
Yeah.
Your legs start kicking and, like, it keeps me awake before I get to sleep. It only happens, I'd say, once every couple of weeks. And normally it's when I'm really tired and my legs are starting to kick.
Your legs, like, move loads, though. I just feel like my legs, like to vibrate.
I feel like I need to just, like, sort of jiggle them about. Like, if someone put Riverdance on, I'd be up. I'd just be like, yeah. I'm waiting for that. Maybe that could be my karaoke.
You should set that as your alarm.
I don't need an alarm because I've still got young kids. And this morning I was woken up by this sentence. Now, can you wipe? Horrible way to wake. Start your day, innit? Start your week. It was Monday as we're recording this. And I'm up and I'm wiping a bottom that's not mine. But these restless legs, sometimes they kick in after I've fallen asleep. So I have to let my wife fall asleep before I do. Because otherwise I kind of, in my sleep, start kicking my legs and start kicking air. I remember seeing a documentary about a guy who played so many video games. He used to have these night terrors and he just used to, like, batter his girlfriend in his sleep.
Fella did that. Well, he didn't batter her, but one night he used to, like, wake up while he was sleepwalking. One night he got up, because he used to, like, he fits out houses, like, that have just been built. One night he got up in the middle of the night and just went over and, like, disconnected the radiator from the wall in his sleep. Folded the bedroom, and she was like, we need to take you to a sleep therapist now, because this is just nuts. You've got to stop.
And it's freezing in there.
I know. But when my son was little, he used to sleepwalk a lot and he used to talk in his sleep. But when he sleepwalked, he did have his eyes wide open, like as though he was awake. And he'd just come down. He'd be about five. He'd just come down and sit on the couch with his eyes wide open, smiling like he was possessed by the devil.
Oh, that's and creepy.
And I'd just be back there going, oh, you're all right. And he'd be like that. Like, it was really creepy. And it was always because he needed a wee. So he's just take him upstairs and sit him on the toilet, and that would be it. Put him back to bed. But
I used to sleepwalk.
Did you?
Yeah, loads. And in fact, once I lived in a flat with a friend of mine, and so this is about 20 years ago, and I sleptwalked. I was bladdered that night, but I blame it on this really cheap cordial we used to get from Lidl.
Was it cheap?
I don't know what it was called. But I never bought it again after this incident, because I got up. I remember having a really vivid dream that I was knocking on a door. I was just knocking on this door, and I could hear banging. And then I gradually started to wake up and I realized I was knocking on a door in real life and I was awake, and I just stopped my hand from knocking on this door. And I was like, whose door's this? And it was the flat downstairs. I'd wandered out of our flat, let the door shut behind me, so I was locked out. And I was knocking on their flat door in my undies. And as they opened, I went, I'm really sorry, I think I've been sleepwalking. And I just stood there in my bills. And they just started laughing at me. And I remember they were very like understanding, but they didn't invite me in. I couldn't get back into my flat. They just
You stood there in your undies in. That's rude.
And they didn't let me in. I mean, if someone knocked on my door in their undies, I'd definitely let them in. But they gave me a duvet and a pillow, and I just sort of went to sleep on the stairs for a bit. And then I remember thinking, this is bullshit. I need to get in my house here. So then I just banged on the door dead hard until my flatmate let me in. But,
oh my God.
It's a bit nasty, that. But then I was just bothering them in the middle of the night, semi-clothes.
I think it's because I'm older now. I just don't sleep as much. And I remember my mum saying to me, because I used to be able to sleep the clock round. And I remember saying, when you're older, you won't need as much sleep. And I was like, no, I'll always need loads of sleep. And now I just don't. I don't get tired, really.
Yeah, I think there's so many stimulations. Like, what do you think the reasons are? I know, like, statistically, people are getting a lot less sleep nowadays, aren't they, than they were, you know, 100 years ago, because we've all got phones, we've all got
Netflix. I think that the screen time stimulates you, like overstimulates you.
Yeah.
But it says something about I don't know how you say it. It messes with your circadian
rhythms. Yeah.
So the one thing that is suggested is if like you just don't have no screen time for an hour before you go to sleep.
Yeah.
Then how am I meant to read the whole entire internet if I don't do that? Which I have to do every single night.
Yeah. How am I going to find out what people I don't like or don't respect are doing?
You know, exactly.
How am I going to get this information, which is valuable to my, you know, I mean, next time I can't get to sleep, I'm just going to be like, oh, it's probably my circadian rhythms or something. That'd be a great excuse if you were just bladdered and you'd had a terrible hangover. Oh, it's my circadian rhythms are all off.
I'm just going to start blaming everything on that.
Sorry, go on.
My friend says if you can't fall asleep, if you blink 100 times, it's better than counting sheep. But then what if it becomes like one of them like OCD things?
Yeah, or a twitch that you can't stop.
Yeah. So I didn't really want to try that.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Oh, your mouth.
Yeah. It's this sunlight's not helping if you're watching this. The sunlight's not helping. What are you doing, Sam? I'm just trying to get to sleep. I'm just like you're not like you're stuck in some kind of weird
You're all right, you're having a stroke. No, I'm just trying to get to sleep.
No, I was just trying to fix me circadians. That's all. I know men do this, I think, a bit more from my experience, but, you know, getting up in the night and weeing in the wardrobe and stuff.
Oh, that happens, the wardrobe, the dressing table, the washing machine. I stopped the person, I'm not going to name them, somebody I live with, and I stopped them just in time. But it's also give benefit because if you're half asleep and you come down and the washing machine's in, it does look like lavatorial.
Yeah. Lavatorial? It's a good word.
You're not supposed to wake someone up when they're sleepwalking.
Why is that?
Dangerous. I just smacked them around the head.
Yeah. It depends what they're doing. Because, like, in fact, I slept once and got into bed with my mate and his girlfriend and had my hand around his girlfriend. And then he said, Sam, what the fuck are you doing? And at that point, I was so...
It's the circadian rhythms.
Yeah. It's all about the rhythm, baby. I was so confused when he said that, though. I kind of thought... I think he said, you're sleepwalking. And I went, no, you're sleepwalking. You're both in my bed. As if they both walked into my bed, you know, of their own accord. So that was incredibly awkward. But I've only ever... tried to wee in the wardrobe once and my wife stopped me. She said, what are you doing? And I think I woke up at that moment and I just said, I'm not pissing. That was the thing I said to her.
I think there's no chance of me sleepwalking because I can't even be asked to get out of the bed when I'm awake and I need to go to sleep. So the last thing I'm going to do is in my subconscious, get out of bed.
Yeah, go and do more stuff.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be dead depressing if you found out you were sleepwalking and you said to like, someone you lived with, well, what was it doing? They said, oh, you were just on your phone. You were just scrolling in your sleep.
One of my mates used to go on Net-a-Porter in the middle of the night. What's that? It's like ASOS, but for designer stuff.
Oh.
Like, the next day, a package would come and she'd open it and it'd be like a Burberry trench coat and she'd just be like, I haven't ordered this. What the fuck did I order this? And then she'd go on and order history, and it'd be like, ordered it at 4:30 in the morning, and she would have done it in her sleep. Then after sit back.
God, but you know, if all the stuff was really like fitted you well and made you look younger, you'd be like, I've got like a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, yeah. But like the evil version of me is like, a fashion designer.
Subconscious queer eye just going, it's gonna look fabulous on you. You need to order it. And then away you'd just like wander into Tesco and just buy like random old shite clothes. your alter ego goes on
Netflix. Spending £400 on a bracelet or something. Look at these suede like moccasins that you've got that you can't wear when it's rain because you just turn into papier-mâché. Yeah,
everyone called me big gigantic bottle. By the way,
That's good. That's meant to help you sleep as well, isn't it? Staying hydrated, it's meant to be good.
Not drinking alcohol.
Yeah, it's funny when you had a skinful because you feel like you've had a great sleep, but in reality, you've just being like, making noises.
Why would you fix it though? What would you do? I don't think there's anything you can do. You can have to go to them sleep clinics, can't you?
Yeah, it depends what the problem is, really. And I know this is like, we're trying to fix the problem, but I suppose there's all different types of sleeping problems. There's problems with what people are doing while they're asleep, or there's problems that people can't get to asleep. But then I suppose these sleep clinics like cover all those bases, don't they? They'll have all different like ailments coming to them.
Do you know what my boyfriend does when he's asleep? He like put his hand underneath my pillow, like the flat of his palm against the mattress, and then he'll start just like scratching the mattress. Like I'm going, what's that? I'm like, it sounds like a mouse or something.
Like cousin it.
But I'm a dead gnaw. I'm a narc, so. If someone snores dead loudly, right, I'm at peace with loud snoring. Okay, I'm like, snore, that's fine. You snore, we get it. But you know when someone just mouth breathes and they're not really making a noise? That irritates me more. So, if my boyfriend's facing me, mouth breathing like that, what I do, I just get my finger and just go, and I just push the bits with my finger, and then it works because his whole body will turn away then. And I'm like that, oh, okay.
You just got to find the right point on the body, haven't you? It's like the pressure point where you can just...
Is it in a pull on his face?
keep pushing until he hits carpet. What my wife would do to me. I snort terribly, like really bad. If I'm lying on my back, I'm just like, like a dinosaur. Because I don't know what's up with me. I'm all right breathing when I'm awake. When I go to sleep, I just turn into some kind of like...
But imagine going to one of them sleep clinics. And being like absolutely fast asleep, what do you do in your sleep that you don't know that you do that other people are going to see? I'd be mortified.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to see a video of that.
Picking your ass or picking doing anything, and they know, and you don't. You didn't even know you did it.
I do all my ass picking while I'm awake.
They're like, oh, morning, and they're like, you need to go wash your hands.
Yeah, nice to meet you. No, we'll do that in a minute. Not even fist bumping you dirty bastard. So here's how I'd fix sleep. I'd close down all the streaming services and all the phone networks after 10 p.m. like it was in the good old days. I'd play the national anthem at the end.
In the good old days of fascism.
In the good old days of nothing to do and no opportunities for anyone. That, you know,
it would be like communist Russia in Sam's world.
And I'd make everyone sleep. And I'd just have my head, instead of the national anthem, it'd just be my head going, come on, you've had your fun. It's time for sleep now.
That would terrify me into more insomnia.
How would you fix sleep?
I think everyone should just have their own bedroom. And then little irritating... Not to use all the time, but just some of the time when you're really tired and you know that. You get overtired and you're like, I know I'm so tired, I'm not going to sleep. Because your mind's racing and then little tiny things irritate you. I'd also, sorry animal lovers, but I would shoot all the magpies in the world. They always squawk outside my window at like 4:30 in the morning and I hate them.
Yeah, it sounds like Jurassic Park, doesn't it?
That's how I'd fix my sleep. Just shoot magpies.
Before we move on to the next subject, I've just thought of something. I mentioned at the start, I said, I'm getting more sleep now. My kids are a bit older, but I remember when they were babies, I was so tired some nights. I'd go to bed and I was so excited about going to sleep that I couldn't get to sleep because I was like, I'm in bed and it's before 9 o'clock. This is amazing. I'd be like, oh God, it's 20 to 10 now. And then you start to do all the maths about as long as I get to sleep by 11, I'll have had, you know, so many hours sleep. And yeah, that was such a strange situation. But yeah, just like mentally having these like mad, like ridiculous arguments, or thinking about arguments that you didn't have years ago or that you should have had years ago with people that you'd no longer see, or thinking about ways you should have ended an argument.
Yeah, I know, that's true. You go, things come up to you in your head and you go, oh, I remember when she borrowed that dress off me and she didn't give me it back. And I've never, and you're like, why am I even bothered about something that happened 25 years ago?
You're basically sat in the editing suite of your life and you're thinking, well, that should have been different and I could have said that.
But then what you do then is you pick up your phone and you look for them on my profile to see if it's still as annoying as you remember them to be. And then you fall into a rabbit hole then.
And then your circadian rhythms are literally bouncing off the walls all over the place.
No. I'll write an album, I call it Circadian Rhythms.
Circadian Rhythm and Blues would be good, wouldn't it? Someone make a note of that.
So I think I'd shoot magpies. You would turn the internet off.
I'd become a dictator and you'd shoot magpies. I think
either way, we're both going to become really terrible people just so we can get a good night's sleep.
Yeah, but I think how refreshed you'd feel.
Oh, no, you'd feel wonderful the next morning.
You might have blood on your hands.
Yeah, exactly.
But you'd be really jovial, so swings and roundabouts.
You'd be rested. You'd be rested. And you'd be a rested dictator.
Yeah. How's Chairman Sam? Oh, he looks very, very bouncy today. He's just...
You know what? Skin's glowing.
He's radiant.
Sleeps like a baby.
All this evil's good for him. Those bags under his eyes have completely cleared up. Amazing. Should we move on to our next subject? So our next subject this week is arguments. They say never go to bed on an argument, don't they? Which is the way to sleep.
What was the last argument you had?
The last argument I had was with my wife, and it was about, I said to her, would you have married me if I was a small person? And I indicated this by pointing at just above her waist and saying, if I was this high. And I wasn't trying to pick an argument. It was just a stupid comment. One of millions of stupid comments that my poor wife has to put up with from me during the day, which is just, I'm just filling the air. And I said, would you have married me if I was this height? And with a smile on my face, it wasn't a serious question. And she just sort of she genuinely thought about it. And she said, I probably wouldn't have, you know. And then I started to get really defensive and go, well, why not? And like this like little argument developed over a completely hypothetical situation that didn't happen and will never happen. That was ridiculous.
So are you good at making up from arguments?
I think I'm quite lucky with Rachel because we tend to not argue that much really, because we tend to get to the point where, as I think one of us sees that it's approaching that, and one of us grabs the wheel and just slams into like a soft landing and does something stupid. Like one point we were on the brink of arguing and she just pulled me pants down in the kitchen and like won and lost the argument at the same time, but also completely diffused it. I think the other ones call that
kecked. She kecked you.
She kecked me, which is interesting because people used to wedgie you, which was pulling your pants up, and now kecked, people pull your pants down.
That's the concept for our new game show. Wedgied or kecked.
Wedgied or kecked. If you use the term wedgie, you've probably been double vaccinated by now.
Definitely.
If you use the word kek, you probably haven't had your first jab.
That's true.
What was the last argument you had?
Well, it was more of a... So me and Mick bicker constantly about just nonsense. But most of the time, it's about nice snacks that I've bought that when I go to the cupboard to get them, they are all gone. Like, for instance, today, it was about a packet of, you know, them nice black pepper crackers.
Oh, yeah.
So I'll get them and I'll have them with a little bit of cheese on or some pate. He has them and he'll open them because he doesn't like cheese and he'll just open them and eat them dry with a cup of tea, like the digestives. But I always make sure to get him because I don't really like sweet things. So I always make sure that we get biscuits with chocolate on and stuff like that that he likes because I won't eat those. So I get these things for me and then I'll go and have them and he'll be sitting there with a cup of tea and dry black pepper crackers and I'll be like, why haven't you got your biscuits? And he's like, because it's not a student house, Kate. All the biscuits are everybody's. But I get them for me and I have cheese and I have pickles and I have all nice things and I'll go and have them and there's nothing to fucking put them on.
You need to get...
I said to him, I'm going to get him a box to put his snacks in that only he has access to and then he's not allowed to switch anybody else.
Which, have you thought about getting a stash place?
Well, I have got one. Sometimes I get things and I hide them inside the slow cooker on top of the fridge. if you want a good hiding place, that's it.
Yeah, or inside like some frozen peas or something. If it's like ice cream, get some ice cream like Häagen-Dazs and just like wrap it up in oven chips or something like that. Yeah.
But every couple has like bad blowouts. And I always think, because some of my friends, they can fall out with their fellas and it can last weeks. And they'd be like, I haven't spoken to him for 4.5 weeks. No, I'm not going to. And I'm like, I just have not got the energy or patience to live like that. And I'm like, I'm a bit of a soft touch. I'll like blow out, let off steam, whatever. And then after a little while, I'm like, hey, isn't this right? And I don't apologise, and he doesn't apologise to me. So most of our bad arguments, where it can go on for maybe like a day or two, will be ended when one of us goes, hey, do you want a cup of tea?
But that's an apology just without the words, I'm sorry, isn't it?
But nothing gets resolved, nobody says sorry.
No, well, you don't want to admit, you know, to being at fault, do you? That's why the word sorry is probably not used as much. Certainly like in like, think of like the political spectrum now. People don't say sorry because as soon as you say sorry, that says, I did something wrong there.
And people if you do say sorry, they don't go, oh, I'm really sorry. I'm sorry about what it is. You go, oh, I'm sorry you feel like that. That's not an apology.
I'm sorry if you were offended.
Yeah.
No, you should be sorry for what you did.
Yeah. It's them people who call hashtag just saying at the end of tweets. They're the kinds of people who say, oh, sorry if you didn't like what I said.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than an apology that's not an apology as well, because that's just slapping your face. You know, when someone looks at you and they go, I'm sorry. And you're thinking, you're not sorry. And now I'm more annoyed than I was.
A diplomatic way out of it is to go, I'm sorry we argued.
I'm sorry that you were out of line there.
Yeah. Sometimes when we argue, right, I will be arguing one point and you will argue another point. And then eventually something happens, some kind of weird shift, and he'll start arguing back to me with the point I was arguing in the first place. So we're both in agreement. We're both like still arguing about
it. You can't back down.
It would drive you insane.
Yeah, when you're arguing with someone that much that you forget what your point was, and then their point morphs into the same point as yours, and because you're so angry with them, your point morphs into what they were previously arguing about, and then you just swap sides, but you just want to be on a different side to the person that you're arguing with,
yeah,
after doing your head in, all because they pissed on the seat. It's not to do with anything else. It's something completely minor, but really annoying.
Yeah.
We have a lot of, and we joke about it as well, we have a lot of passive aggressiveness in our house, you know. And that's not even a phrase I'd even heard of about 10 years ago. But now it's everyone talks about it. You being very passive aggressive. But I suppose what it is, in my mind anyway, it's just a little bit of sarcasm or saying something very loud to someone so that someone else hears it. Like, you know, if I'm talking to the kids and I'll go like, it's all right, kids, I'm just emptying the dishwasher again.
Yeah.
It's like this point scoring stuff, which really, if you're going to fix that.
It's just never had a name. It's like when someone your nan would go, well, yeah, you go. I wouldn't have gone even if I was asked.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm sure cavemen were passive aggressive, weren't they? Oh, I'd love to come to the fire that you've just invented, but I've got to go and kill another saber-toothed tiger for this tribe.
Yeah. Nice see dinosaur. I didn't even want to come hunting. I'm happy here just doing some cave painting. That'd be worth millions in 6 million years. Not beds.
You being passive aggressive? Because whenever someone accuses you of it, you've got to then say, no. No. You can't say, yes, I was. Because that's the point of it. But passive aggressiveness is the whole description of it is a mockery because you're trying to be aggressive whilst not being aggressive. So it just seems like, just say what you think. Isn't that the way to kind of build better relationships?
I do try and live my life like that. I would never hint at anything because I'm an open book and I tell everybody anything and everything anyway. Also, I think the best thing you can do when you're arguing with someone is go, just flummox them and go, totally agree with you, you know. I wouldn't do it, but I agree with you. You should, if that's what you think you should do, then you should do it. I wouldn't do it. Because I'm not like you. And then that makes them go, oh my God, what am I like?
Yeah.
Why does she say it like that? Like it's a bad thing.
So it's mind games, isn't it? You're trying to psychologically destroy them with...
Spend your life just trying to monkey scientist people, like psych them out. I'm not a good arguer. Well, I know. Yeah, I'm not. I hate falling out with people.
Yeah. I don't like confrontation.
No. I think confrontation is a bit different to arguing, but at some point during an argument, I'll go, right, we're going around the circles, we'll stop there now, because I lose interest, to be honest, I get bored.
Yeah. And life's too short, isn't it?
When you're in school, it was like when you were saying before, we were talking about sleep, how you go to bed and you think about arguments you've had with people years ago. Do you ever remember when you were a kid and like someone had like, do something and then you'd be like, that's your mate. But when I see them, I'm going to say this. And then if they say this, I'm going to say that back. And you go through this whole entire hypothetical argument as though it was a play. And then you'd see that person and just be like that. Ah, yeah. And that would be it.
Yeah.
That see it through.
Yeah, you'd have one of those diagrams, like, if they say this, I'm going to say that. But if they say that, I'm going to say this. And you'd have it plotted out. And then you get really...
Witches and wizards, or what was it called?
The little thing that used to, like, you fold it up and...
You know, it was like, you get to a page and it'd go, if you want to kill the dragon, go to page 132.
Oh, or yeah. Choose your own adventure books.
Yeah.
Like, choose your own argument books. That'd be quite a good self-help book, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Choose your own arguments.
Sandra has just spilt your pint. What do you say? Do you A, say, it's all right, love, these kecks are old? Or do you say B, you better get me another one, love? If B, go to page 124. And then Sandra comes back with something else. But the thing is, in real life, you're right, you have all these, like, you have an argument in your head and you're like, okay, so if they say this, I'm just going to say that. And if they say this, I'm going to say, well, what about when you did this? And what about when you did that? And then you do
I'm going to tell them exactly what I think about them.
No one spoke to them like, I'm going to speak to them. And then you see them and you go, hiya. And they go, hiya, how are you? And you go, I'm fine, thanks. And you're like, oh, that actually, you've just painted this picture in your head, haven't you, of how they're going to be?
And then someone will go, did you see such a body? And you go, yeah, I'll wipe the floor with them. And it's like, it never happened.
Yeah, tall chunks of flesh off them. Yeah, I mean, what I do enjoy is maybe not so much nowadays, but I used to enjoy listening to or overhearing other people's arguments on the bus, on the train, in town. But maybe like reality TV has just numb me to that, or maybe it's an age thing, but I just, any kind of aggro like that, I'm kind of numb to.
Don't don't know whether as well, because I feel like the way people talk to each other is just completely dumbed down. So if you're on a bus and there's two teenage lads arguing, it'd just be lad, and it's just, you think, have a proper argument, use proper, have a measured argument, but no, it's not like that. Nah, lad, you're wrong. Your math stinks anyway. Just be like that, and that's how the argument goes.
Yeah, and that's, I suppose, a skill that people have lost is that skill to have a debate, have a discussion. I'm not expecting that on the 86 bus from the lads at the back smoking weed. But you know what I mean? In a broader sense, the whole political spectrum being so pushed to the side, no one can disagree on something and but still have a conversation. Because that's an important skill, isn't it? And it just turns to name calling and shouting and you ma this, you ma that, which is not what the politicians do, but they might as well do.
That's because I don't think we've got any attention span anymore. All we want to see, all we want to hear about, all we want to learn is something that's written in 140 letters. And if it's more than that, you form your opinion based on a small social media post.
Yeah.
And that's it. No background.
So that goes back to my point. After 10 p.m, just turn it all off. Give everyone a break.
Yeah.
And all arguments have to stop at 10 o'clock as well. If you argue after 10 o'clock, you're going to have to deal with me. My big shiny head.
But also resolving an argument. I think because everyone's got to be friends now in school, and nobody's the teachers don't know. I feel like they don't go, well, all right, you can both be wrong, you can both be right. It's everybody's got to be friends, and none of us are supposed to argue, but that's not real life. People do argue. So yeah. I think what we need to do is teach kids to argue in school properly.
Yeah, and you should have two tactics to go for. Yeah. You can have the reasonable debate one, if you respect that person, and then you've got the snide, the audible, kick him below the belt, kick him in the bollocks kind of arguing, where you just start making it dead personal.
Little Simon and Benjamin are in year five arguing about Minecraft, and the teacher's like, I'm sick of this. Right, what we're going to do, we're not going to put you in the room and tell you that it's better to be nice. We're going to stand you in front of assembly and say, right, argue it out now. Have a proper debate, and we'll all vote who was right.
And in fact, if you can rap, do it like the end of 8 Mile and just get everyone up about Minecraft.
Or just Hunger Games it out. Do you know what I mean?
Maybe I'll speak to my fellow fascist dictators and see if they want to kind of get in on that. And we can.
I'm killing magpies. You're being a dictator, and now we're arming kids to fight to the death instead of having a proper argument.
Yeah. I think many a true word said in jest, innit? So, I'm smiling when I'm saying this, but part of me's going, yeah, but it would work, wouldn't it?
Do your twins do? Because you've got little twins, so what do they do when they argue? Do they argue all the time?
They argue all the time, and I try and encourage them to the most important thing about any conversation is not just what you say, it's what the other person's saying, it's listening. And that's the same with arguing. You've got to listen to why are they annoyed, what's their grievance. But they're only six, so they don't care. I remember the first ever argument they had, because one of them was saying no, and the other one started saying yes. And they must have been about two. One was going no, the other one was going yes. And it started off quite jolly, and I just got more angry. No. Yes, no, and they just start clawing at each other. No, yes, and they weren't arguing over anything. It was just those words they were using, and that's pretty much every argument, isn't it? You think this, I think that. Let's talk until one of us loses an eye.
Yeah, exactly. That's how it goes.
But then I just spend half my time in our house just saying stop shouting, and I'm just shouting my head off. So I'm not really maybe the role model that they need, but. But do you think we fixed anything this week?
I think we have fixed sleeping. I do think that would work. I think both of those things would work.
It's just getting it through, Parliament and that, innit? Because it's kind of quite out there.
A lot of legwork and logistics involved.
A lot of bullets.
Mm.
Not just for the magpies, but for, the dissenters.
And also the getting rid of the magpie carcasses. But I do know a man who deals with dead stock, so I could just say, I could lob him a little contract, like the City Council. Back out there to collect all the dead magpies.
Yeah, just look after our friends. That's what they do in government. So we'll be buzzing. What about arguments? I'm not sure we really got.
I think we did.
Are you being passive aggressive or are you just being aggressive? I can't tell. I can't tell these days.
Well, it's not my fault. You can't tell. I don't want us to resolve. I don't want us to fix arguments. I think we all need to keep on arguing.
Yeah, I don't think like. The world shouldn't just be this place where everyone agrees and everyone thinks the same thing and likes the same stuff, because that'd be dead boring, wouldn't it?
You've as long as think the same as me and like the same thing as me and like me, I don't really care about anything else. that's okay. As long as that's how we fix it, we can get our own way every single time.
I think that's fair enough.
That's all I want out of life.
Your demands are very fair and will be met.
I just want my own way.
As long as I get my own way, I'm happy to cooperate with everyone else. As long as I get exactly what I want.
Yeah. So everyone else doesn't give a shit. You can argue if you want. Make sure I get what I want.
So if you're listening and you've got any subjects or issues you would like us to fix, or as you've listened to, attempt to fix. I think that's the key.
Obviously, you've seen how successfully we do fix problems.
Maybe we should change the name of the podcast to Attempt to Fix the World rather than Fix the World.
Let's keep to our original mission statement, because we don't want to undermine ourselves. We want people to believe in us.
It's a bit weak if we say Attempt to Fix the World, isn't it? We are fixing some stuff. It's just some stuff, we're hitting a brick wall, but maybe we need your input. If you're listening and you want to get in touch, please let us know what you'd like us to fix. Or also, if you've got any solutions to some of the issues that we've been...
That would be interesting. Yes.
We'd love to hear that. Whether it's broad or specific, or whether you want to join my glorious regime, which I've got to stop joking about, because I'm starting to think really vividly about having this big castle in the middle of... Yeah.
After this podcast, Sam's going on the dark web to research dictatorships and how to... You better buy a copy of Mein Kampf.
Another one?
Yeah.
Got it on Audible.
On that journey.
Got it on Audible. It's read by David Hasselhoff. It's really strange.
It should be like your supervillain origin story.
Yeah.
He started off really nice, and then he just decided he wanted to turn the internet off because he wanted a good night's sleep.
Yeah, on episode 5 of a podcast he'd started, he just decided to become a dictator, and that's his beginning.
That's how people become dictators.
That's it.
One day they just go, I'm going to change this. I'm going to fix the world. This is basically a podcast for wannabe dictators, guys.
This is our manifesto, and if you're listening to this, you're part of the problem. But thanks to everyone who's been listening, and thanks to everyone who's been messaging in and saying that you've been listening from various parts of the world that we didn't expect. People in Australia, Nigeria, Russia, and mainly Britain, but also all these other places. So thanks for all your support. Thanks for listening.
Keep watching and keep listening.
Yeah, and if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, feel free to give us a little review, because it does help the podcast become visible. On that platform.
Only a good review, though.
Just a good review. Just a good review. Otherwise, we'll find...
Would you be one of the first to go when Sam takes over?
Yeah, there's a wall, and you'll be up against it. So.
Yeah, and your garden will be full of dead magpies.
So, thanks for listening, folks, and we'll be back next week with another episode. And in the meantime, need a catchphrase, but I'm just going to say bye. In the meantime, bye.
That's a catchy catchphrase.
I'm going to come up with one for next week, a signing off catchphrase. Like Jerry Springer. Jerry Springer used to say, look after yourselves and each other.
Oh, yeah. We won't do that one, because sometimes we want them to carry on arguing, so that's not really look after me. I think bye is a brilliant catchphrase, because I think everybody will end up using it.
I think it's going to catch on, and it's going to go viral. Really, so, bye.
Bye, everyone. We'll see you soon.